May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 961. Be still, my heart, these anxious cares, to thee are burdens, thorns and snares. They cast dishonour on thy Lord and contradict his gracious word. 961.
Let us turn for our reading to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, and we'll read chapters 1 and 3. The epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapters 1 and 3. Verse Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word of truth and help us now to pray. O Lord God Almighty, we come in all our vast dependence upon thee now at this evening hour of worship. All we pray now, Lord, for the gracious gift of thy Holy Spirit. O Lord, truly, we are dependent on thee at all times. And Lord, especially this hour of worship, that we may receive thy precious word, an engrafted word with meekness. Let's open our hearts, O Lord, as Lydia's, to receive it. And that we may, O Lord, be so in the Spirit as to be able to worship thee, O Lord, by faith, and do bestow upon us this evening, Lord, that drawing power, that we may truly repent of our sin May, Lord, have in our heart a real desire after thee, and that we may, O Lord, come unto thee as we are. O Lord, we pray that we may be taken up even this evening with thyself, and the things concerning thee, thy word, thy gospel. O Lord, we pray that our hearts will be touched, and we would become without thanksgiving. O Lord, that thou art that God that pardoneth iniquity, a God that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of thine heritage, and a God who hears and answers prayer. Oh, we thank thee for this. Lord, where would we be without mercy and grace to help in every time of need? Oh, then, Lord, we would give our thanks for thy mercy. Help us, we pray, then, in our gathering here. Lord, thou knowest the needs that are present, Lord. Thou knowest the cases, the concerns, the spiritual conditions, the pathways thy people tread. Oh, may there be help, we pray thee. Help for us in thy house, as thou not promised to bless the provision of thy house and satisfy thy poor with bread. As thou not promised to supply all our need according to thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And Lord, we plead these promises before thee. We pray we may be much helped. Maybe that help, O Lord, to continue. A help to look right on. A help to endure. And may there be, O Lord, that favour, even as we have been singing, to remember what thou hast done and raise our Ebenezer stones and those favoured times we're able to truly say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. O Lord, we beg thee that we may have those favours and blessings revived and restored, and Lord, bring them to our remembrance, bring them into sweet remembrance, and that we may, Lord, be encouraged to go on. Lord, we would thank thee for what thou hast done, many, many, many mercies. O Lord, and Lord, we would thank thee for what have we that we do not, that we, O Lord, do not deserve? Oh, we pray that we may know thy mercy, then, Lord Jesus. And could it please thee that we may know thy mercy even this evening? Poor sinners in thy house here, O Lord, may they know thy mercy. May there be, O Lord, this evening some crumbs from thy table. Bless the ministration of thy word in this house of God, we pray thee. Oh, we ask, O Lord, that thou wilt send forth thy word with power. We thank thee where it has been. Could it please thee that, Lord, thou wilt bless sinners here and favour sinners here? May we plead this, O Lord, amongst the churches, if it could please thee. Send out yet thy light and thy truth. Let that light lead us and guide us and bring us to thy holy hill, even to thy tabernacles. May there be that going unto thy altar, Lord Jesus, even that going unto Calvary. O Lord, thou art able to use whatever means thou wilt employ for thy glory. Then we pray thou bless thy people, and bless thy people here. O Lord, do in thy mercy raise up yet that seed to serve thee, a generation to follow on, to call thee their God blessed. O Lord, we bear before thee each one then. And Lord, The little ones and children are brought to thy house, remember them. Remember the elderly also and the infirm. Those with infirmities and weaknesses, O Lord, help them. Thou knowest, O Lord, the things that are yet before us, and friends here who have mountains, O Lord, before them. O Lord, do make, we pray thee, those mountains to flow down at thy presence. Oh, what great help we need. Lord, could it please you to be with us? May thy presence known, and that we may be helped to go on, O Lord, and on by faith, truly looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. O Lord, then do favour souls, we pray thee. And O Lord, all we would do, we would seek, Lord Jesus, greater favours, greater revelations of thyself. Or have we not read of the apostles' desire for the Ephesians? They may have their understandings enlightened. And, O Lord, we pray likewise. May we, O Lord, understand the hope of our calling, those great things that thou hast done for us. May we also grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we come before thee to seek thee this evening. O Lord, do appear, do come, do breathe by thy Spirit through thy own word. O Lord, it's thy word with power that we need. Not the words of a creature, not the words of a man. Thou hast the words of eternal life. May there be then a crumb from the Master's table, a word in season, something to do us good and to help us in the way, something to take home and to beat out, something that might follow us in our needs for the morrow, O Lord, and indeed those days ahead. Come and help us, we beseech thee, for without thee we can do nothing. Lord, help each one here. We plead, Lord Jesus, thy great and glorious name, and pray all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 273. Pensive, doubting, fearful heart, hear what Christ the Saviour says. Every word should joy impart, change thy mourning into praise. Yes, he speaks and speaks to thee. May he help thee to believe. Then thou presently wilt see thou hast little cause to grieve. 273.
Let us turn for our text this evening to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 3, and to verses 20 and 21. Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. In writing his epistle to the Ephesians, Paul divides his epistle really into these two distinct sections. As he writes in these first three chapters on doctrine, and then the latter half on practice. And these words of our text close this doctrinal portion, really, with a doxology. Now unto him. And it is a note of praise and a note of thanksgiving after all that he has said concerning our God, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and those tremendous blessings, unspeakable favours which he so lays before our attention in that first chapter. Unspeakable things, great things, far-reaching things. And we have need to be reminded of those spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And what God hath wrought, what hath God wrought, in that before the world began, he has chosen a people, predestinated them unto eternal life, to be adopted children by Jesus Christ, adopted into his family eternally, and that all by free and sovereign grace, not because God saw anything good in any of them, but because he loved them with an everlasting love. And so it was in this that he redeemed them, or shed his precious blood for them, and will cause them to inherit eternal glory hereafter. Or even as he desired that the eyes of their understanding might be enlightened to know the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The things of our salvation are so exceedingly great, and we have really such dim, small views of the greatness of our salvation. So this is a note of praise now unto him. And oh, how indeed this is so fitting, isn't it? Oh, as we consider and meditate what great things he has done for us, now unto him. And is that indeed where our hearts are found this evening, desiring to put the crown on the head of Jesus? It will be with the redeemed in glory hereafter. It will all be unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, made us kings and priests unto God. It's unto him be all honour and glory. Now unto him. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now this is a most blessed and wonderful truth. For poor, weak, insignificant sinners, we have a God who is able. And what a vast difference to we who are so unable. You consider this in the light of the fall. Since our Adam fell, how unable we are to do one good thing. How unable we are to think one right thought, say one right word, and do one right deed to the glory of God. And how unwilling we are to do the least thing that is right. And could we have wrought such a deliverance as Christ has? We were in totally unable, and we read that when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were yet without strength, completely dead in trespasses and sins. Or when we were yet in a state of unregeneracy. And indeed, God devised that way of salvation before the worlds. Oh, then this is a truth now unto him that is able. And our God then is a God that is able. We need precious faith to believe it. A God that is able. A God that is not restricted like we are. A God that does not have bounds and limitations, who is infinite and so vastly different to we who are finite. And I believe it's that truth so set forth in this text, you see. We bring God into our sphere, or we bring God down into limitations. But the apostle lifts them up by precious faith to show them that our God is an infinite God. And all power is given unto him in heaven and upon earth, unto him that is able. Oh, then consider Christ in this, how able and willing, yes, to come into this sin-cursed world and live a righteous life with no blemish, the Lamb of God, yes, that Holy One, and to die as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. No other one was good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. He was able. He was able to do this. The line of the tribe of Judah, you see, has prevailed. How? Because with the strength of God, as the Son of God, he could overcome. He was able. And able to open and unlock the gates of heaven for a multitude of sinners. He was able to do this. He who is our lawgiver put himself under that law and fulfilled it because he is able. And being made man, a real man, able to lay down that life, that holy, just life, as a ransom for our sins. Able through that to make our acceptance with God accepted, as we read in the Beloved. Oh, the Father smiled upon the sacrifice of his own Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Able to make reconciliation. Why? because there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Abel, because he was God and man and able to lay his hand on both and bring them together. Oh, blessed truth. And no other Saviour was suited. It can be suited, can it? No other supposed Saviour. No other supposed Christ. No other name under heaven given amongst men. It's Jesus Christ only, who's been able to work all our salvation. Oh, then in every office he fills, truly he is able. Able to fulfill it. Able because he has the authority of his Holy Father. He has been commissioned by his Holy Father. Able because he is with all power to perform. Able to be the wise and good physician. Able to heal all our wounds, all the wounds that sin has made. Able to be our good shepherd, who knows the way, and who has made the way, who is the way. All able to be our King. Yes, and our High Priest, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. Now unto him that is able. What I say, God is not confined to limitations like we are. We men are bound by time. God is not. His time is eternity. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And in all his holy walk on earth, Jesus Christ showed he was not bound by time. You think of that woman, you see, who, it was first the Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. And he asked that Jesus might come. But Christ was hindered, wasn't he? Seemingly in the way to his coming by that woman. At the issue of blood, and by the time that he had finished speaking with her, it seemed that all was over for that ruler of the synagogue. But it was not with Jesus. It was only belief. And again, you see with the death of Lazarus, oh, how he tarried, still in the same place. And in that time, Lazarus died. But there was still, and nevertheless, let us go on to him. And although, yes, Martha, Mary, it was, if thou hadst been here, our brother had not died. Jesus, not bound by time. I am the resurrection and the life. Yes, and he that believeth in me shall never die. Now unto him that is able. We are bound by circumstances. Yes, were not the disciples hindered in their journey on the lake? When those great winds blew and the waves rose high, but Christ came walking upon the waters because he is able. Well, it was in the faith of this, you see, why the spouse in the Song of Solomon besought that her beloved might be as a roe or a hart upon the mountains of Bether. You see those great mountains, maybe some great mountains in our own path. But precious faith says, be thou as a roe or a young hart upon those mountains. Come skipping upon the mountains and leaping upon the hills to my help, for thou art able. I cannot move, I cannot perform, but thou art able. I cannot come to thee, but thou art able to come to me. So what a word this is to the poor and the needy. Now unto him that is able. And able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now the apostle here uses very great and high expressions. He speaks of this then as this ability of Christ, this ability of our God to be so far above and beyond our expectations. Yes, exceeding, more than, and abundantly beyond, and then above all that we ask or think. I see some similarity really here to the 18th verse, where he speaks of the love of Christ, be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. And in this verse he speaks, you see, of the breadth and the length, the depth and the height of the power of God. The power of Christ. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Well, what words these are to rebuke our unbelief. The way in which we limit the Holy One of Israel. He can do so much more, so much beyond, so much above all that we ask or think. Well, we take the name of our God upon our lips. Very often we offer up our prayers and we plead for Jesus' sake. But oh, how very often faith is so lacking in our asking. We know indeed it is a necessity for one who comes before God to believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of all those who diligently seek him. How much we need our faith increased. Lord, increase our faith. The Lord, so enlarge our coasts, that we may be able to open our mouth wide, that he might fill it, to hear the Lord's word to Jeremiah, when his cousin came to him, bid him buy a field at the word of the Lord said to Jeremiah, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Oh, we need this, you see. And I say, it's very fitting that the apostle began his epistle by setting before them his greatness. It's what we need, isn't it? Lord, to increase our faith, to make us realize those things. Those things that he has done, those things that are with our God, and those things in Christ Jesus that we might plead for and ask for. There's exceeding great things to ask for. And are there not also, there's exceeding great and precious promises that we may plead before the Lord. Oh, to plead for Jesus' sake, remembering that all is sealed. Him hath God the Father sealed. He could no denial take when we plead for Jesus' sake. But you see, it is according to him who sits upon the throne, who is able to do, and able to do exceeding abundantly. You see, if we know something by faith of the Lord Jesus, if we know him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, if we see some virtue, have found some virtue in his most precious blood, or if we desire indeed to be clothed in his righteousness, to know and receive his grace, he says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And the liberality of our God, of our Christ, is here, exceeding abundant. Yes, if we, as fathers, we read now to give good gifts unto our children. Know indeed what may please them and profit them. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask, exceeding abundant. Oh, he has a treasure house of grace, a fullness that resides in Jesus our head. And it truly is as the heavenly Joseph. We read of Joseph, is go unto Joseph. Joseph opened all the storehouses, and there was laid up there over those years of plenty exceeding great and abundant stores for all of Egypt and beyond, the lands beyond. And what of our Lord Jesus? Oh, greater than Solomon is here. Solomon, whose kingdom stretched from shore to shore. Greater than Solomon is here. Oh, how then our Jesus reigns. Yes, and considering that Joseph there, you see, governor of Egypt, and yet giving to the lands beyond. Do we not see the gospel in that, in this? It's to the Jew and to the Gentile. Oh, and how indeed in that sense our God is able to exceeding abundantly, has an exceeding abundantly, above all that man has ever asked or thought. It certainly seemed to be something with the Jews that they had never thought that God would save the Gentiles as he did. It seemed to be something outside of their comprehension. And it is why, for example, as we We read of the Lord's words to Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. How he would tell him that God so loved the world. Yes, Nicodemus, outside and beyond your own thoughts, God so loved the world. Every nation under the sun has his redeemed in all places, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And oh, sinner, it's beyond your expectation. Grace can come to you, even to you. The vilest sinner out of hell who lives to fill his need is welcome to a throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Ask and it shall be given you. Well, speaking indeed of God's grace to the Gentiles, the apostle in writing to the Romans in chapter 11 speaks of how he had turned to the Gentiles and concludes with this: oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counsellor? Who hath known the mind of the Lord? These unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, surely the grace of God then is exceeding abundant. Oh, our God truly has displayed in these gospel days his grace. And now we do not see through a glass darkly, but open face. Even in the words of the precious gospel, the exceeding abundance of that grace. And we see it especially in the face of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the abundant grace, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty may be made rich. What exceeding grace. And that grace he gives abundantly. That grace which caused him to come here below to lay down his life, he gives. Precious blood. Oh, a glorious righteousness. Exceeding abundantly. Above all that we ask or think. Well, these thoughts we are told again in Isaiah. The Lord speaking to his people. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. Yes, and that word is a word to sinners. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Because your God can do something more than you could ask or think. Well, are there those here present who can testify to this word? You were born in darkness. In darkness you went astray. You were born in sin. The Lord brought you into a time where you sunk under this knowledge, and every day grew worse. Felt so much an outsider, the vilest of the Lord's. Didn't feel to be the Lord's. But that time came when your God did exceeding abundantly above all that you asked or thought. And what is the height of this word? It's the forgiveness of sins. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Blessed is that man, favoured, highly favoured. And do you say it is beyond you, outside your reach, outside your grasp? And there is a truth indeed in which it is, in that sense, in who can forgive sins but God only. You can't command the blessing. But you know he is able. For he hath all power, we read, in heaven and upon earth, to forgive sins. Now this is truly exceeding abundant. And we would exalt here, you see, the offering of Jesus. Or may we not limit that atonement, able to cleanse us from all sin. We sometimes sing, "Doubt it not." To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the sinner will find that atonement exceeding abundant. God, Christ, is entirely satisfied justice. And there's an abundance, you see, not only for past sins, present sins also, and sins to come, there's pardon too, exceeding abundant, above all that we ask or think. Well, how do we bring ourselves into the knowledge of these things? The Lord must, by his power, according to the power that worketh in us. And that power is the power of precious faith, that God works in your heart. Soul, you sit there in silence, solemn silence, and mourn over your state by nature. You sink very low and cannot look up. You pour upon yourself and your condition, solemn as it is. What does the Lord do when he's pleased to help you and bless you? He gives you the power of precious faith. And it only takes a little grain. For a grain of faith is able to remove mountains. And say, "Be ye removed and be ye cast into the sea, and it will be done." But God is a sovereign, isn't he? When he bestows that faith and the portion and measure he gives, our assurance, our peace will be according to that faith. And indeed, it is so with all the godly that came to Christ with their needs. It was according to your faith, be it unto you. The Christ, as he wrought that faith, he favoured that faith. But this is the faith of the operation of God. It's not a faith that is worked up by us. It's not a faith of one trying to strive for it to be right by his own power, trying to bless himself. It's the power of God working in us. We are told in that first chapter of that power, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Nothing in nature can bring the blessing. Nothing in nature can cause us to ask by faith, to have high thoughts and high views of our God. Except you be born again, said Christ to Nicodemus, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So what is it? It's that faith of the operation of God. And it's that same power that raised Christ from the dead that works that faith in us. Now what a wonderful and marvellous meditation. It's that same power that raised Christ from the dead. And you know, nothing less will do, because we are born in sins. We are dead in trespasses and sins. The apostle made that very clear in the second chapter. We didn't read it. He said we're dead in trespasses and sins. Speaking of their time past, what they were, but the favours they had received. Now we are born in such a state of death. We have no comprehension of what God can do. No comprehension of our need. But he works the power of faith. And he raises that soul up from the dead. And they're raised together with Christ. And are there those here who need that resurrection power? You say, Lord, I'm dead. Say, Lord, I've such a hard heart. Lord, I cannot believe. I can't make myself favoured. I'm so dead. My dear friends, the truth is in our text. It's he that worketh in us. And he is able to do exceeding abundantly. And you may pray for that mighty power of God. Yes, even as that man we mentioned, with the afflicted son, to come before him and say, Lord, I believe. Help, thou mine unbelief. According to the power that worketh in us. Well, are there those souls here this evening who are asking and inquiring and seeking? Who taught us to pray and call upon his name? Who taught you that he was able and no one else? Oh, that your hearts and eyes be open to see more than that. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Well, there may be those things, and there are those things yet in the pathway, things that must be walked out. Mountains before us. And this word applies to those as we continue. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And the covenant of grace he is well able to perform. And he has given all his dear people into the hand of his well-beloved Son to be their surety. And he is able to keep them. And the apostle said, he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Able to keep our souls. Able to keep our hope and our faith alive. Now, this word, I believe, means so much everything to the people of God, because there is nothing they are able to do in and of themselves. As their eyes are open to see things in the light of eternity, they know they are unable to get to heaven by their own strength. And as they see the things in their path, they know they are unable to go through with those things in their own strength. Unable to face up to those great things, mountains, impossibilities, at times opposition, entirely unable. But if we know Jesus as our friend, our brother, thy whole dependence on me fix, nor entertain a thought thy worthless schemes with mine to fix, but venture to be naught. Yes, it's leaning upon our beloved. Now unto him that is able. And there may be other crooked things in our path. Things you can't work out. Things you've longed to be put straight for such a long time. You've puzzled it, you've reasoned it. You've often thought about it. You sometimes say God will work in this way or that way, and he hasn't. So you're ready to conclude with Jacob, all these things are against me. But remember the Lord, what he spoke to the children of Israel by the Red Sea, when they were at the end of their own wisdom. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Another note of praise. The glory must be Christ in the church, because he is the head of the church. And his people are his mystical body. He must have the preeminence, which is indeed why the apostle later on in chapter 5 speaks of the marriage union. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the saviour of the body. It's right, isn't it, as we see marriage a figure of Christ and his church. that the man should have that preeminence as the head. It's what it sets forth. Christ is the head of the church. Our desire is toward him. But especially this is the Saviour of the body. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Well, this is, I believe, what the church in their right mind desire to do. To give him the glory that is due unto him. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I'll declare what he hath done for my soul. And every right testimony will truly be that, won't it? It will be unto him be glory in the church. Hear what he has done. And our conversation will be in heaven. It will be about him. And the Lord will turn to us in pure language. It will be about him. Throughout all ages. World without end. Well, this is the church here below. And this is the church in glory. It's the same thing. Christ hath the preeminence. And that throughout all ages, well without end. Oh, then, I believe it is desire of the church to crown him. All the goodness, the exceeding abundance which he has given and bestowed upon them, the riches of his grace, to cast those great riches before him. Worthy of the Lamb to receive riches, power and honour and glory. And there is that giving back through thanksgiving and praise, what really is his own. For what have we that we have not received? It's why in the Psalms, the psalmist so desired to give the Lord that glory. What should I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. The favour is ours, the glory must be Christ's, throughout all ages, well without end. Oh, then to truly meditate on all those high favours and privileges, which are all the people of God's in Christ Jesus, all those high favours we've read of in our reading. And all to consider these things personally. Those favours that have been made known unto us. Well, there is no small favour, is there? Nothing like a small favour, really. Everything God bestows must truly come into this category, exceeding abundant. In consideration of what we are, what we deserve. Not worthy the least of his mercies. But what hath God wrought? Oh, then that we may be granted that grace to believe on him still. to spread all our needs before him, to open our mouth wide, to ask in faith. May not fall short under that condemnation of James. You have not because you ask not. To really believe is a God that is able. We think here again as we come to our mind of Abraham. Abraham's precious faith was a faith that really believed is able. Read of him regarding the birth of Isaac. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But he believed that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And likewise, regarding the offering up of Isaac, we read this, that God was able to raise him from the dead. That was the faith of Abraham. And we're not exalting Abraham as if he was never guilty of unbelief. No. Or we know his shortcomings, his failings. Denying his wife through fear of death and hastily taking Hagar to speed the promise. But the faith he possessed was truly a faith that believed he was able. Oh, that we may be granted more of this. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach on Saturday afternoon, followed by our friend Sarah passing through the waters of baptism. Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pickett on Monday at our anniversary services. Let us close with hymn 329. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. 329.
O Lord, we do desire to pray for our dear friend who we have just heard hopes to be baptized on this Saturday. Do in thy great mercy be all that she needs you to be. Grant thy strength and grace sufficient, and may she know the favour that we have just sung. I will never, never leave thee, nor forsake thee. May, Lord, these things be, Lord, a voice unto us each. May thy mighty power be known. Lord, who bless thy word this evening, how we pray. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each. Amen.